I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the blessed name of our Lord, and on behalf of our session members, I want to greet all fathers a very blessed Father's Day today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord strengthen you. May you be an encouragement to your children. And may you, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, come to believe in Him as Lord and Savior. And if you are fathers already, yes, it is our desire, our wish, and our prayer that you will be the fathers that the Lord wants you to be to your children and to your family. Now, the topic this morning is a great father. A great father. This being Father's Day, so I want to speak on this message. A great father. Now, if I were to ask fathers, all fathers, this question, what is the greatest thing a father can do? What is the greatest thing? Now, you fathers will probably say, the greatest thing that I can do for my family is to provide for them. It is to provide them a good education, and it is to bring them up in a very rounded manner, and it is to help them to do well in their studies, and also to help them to socialize well, help them to participate in some recreational activities, and also to reward them with holidays. And then also to make sure that they go to church. Yes. So I dare say that in most responsible father's mind, the combination of all these things I've just said is the greatest thing you say, is the greatest thing that you would do for the family and for your children. But I'd like us to see this morning that the greatest thing that a father can do is the one thing that he can do for himself and he must do for himself, and that is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing that he can do for himself, and as we shall see, also for his family also. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ must be his top priority. And when he gets this priority right, yes, invariably, he will be a very, very good father to his family. The kind of father that the Lord wants him to be to his children. Now, I'd like us to take, for example, this drunkard. Now, I read this story some years ago. I can't remember the details of this story. But essentially, it was this. This man was a drunkard. Yes, he used to return home drunk after work. And when he got home, he would beat up his wife and he would beat up his children habitually. One evening, when he came back from work, and then after he opened the door, as usual, the wife stood in front of him. Usual thing. Now, why did the wife have to stand in front of him every time he got back from home? Now, she had to stand in front of him to protect the children because she was so fearful that this man would beat up his children. But that evening, the husband appeared very different. He was not violent, yes, he didn't smell of alcohol. He was sober, and he moved forward to his wife, wrapped his arms around the wife, and sobbingly, with tears, he said this to the wife. My dear wife, I'm very, very sorry for what I did to you and the children all these years. But today I heard the gospel. I came to Jesus, and he made me a new creature, and he has promised me to enable me to be a good husband to you and a good father to the children. Now, if as of that day, if this man was a very, very genuine in his coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if he truly had repented from his sins, he would truly have become a new creature. And if as of that day he continued to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will surely be the kind of husband and the kind of father that the Lord would want him to be. Not a wife beater, but a wife lover. Not a children beater, but a very loving father to the children. Indeed, the greatest thing a father can do for himself is for him to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that exactly was what this man Jairus did. This man that we read about earlier on in this passage in Luke chapter 8. Now, Luke chapter 8, if you refer to Luke chapter 8, now we read of this man, Luke chapter 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and besought that he would come to his house. Now, this man was Jairus. He came to Jesus. Now, who was he? He was a ruler of the synagogue. Now, what it means is he was an elder who looked after the affairs of a synagogue. Now, being a religious Jew, he was actually very courageous and bold in coming to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't sense that, but let's remember, the Jews were very, very prejudiced against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they were fearful to be associated with him, particularly those who were religious. But this man, Jairus, was not like that. Yes, he was different from this man called Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus, who was a very religious Pharisee? He wanted to know the way of salvation. He was actually a good man. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night to want to find a way of salvation. Now, why did he do that? Why did he come to the Lord Jesus Christ by night? He did so because he was very, very fearful to be seen by his fellow Pharisees, fearful to be seen by the Jews. But not Jairus. Yes, in fact, Nicodemus didn't reveal his association with the Lord Jesus Christ until after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But not Jairus. This man, Jairus, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ in open view of a big crowd. Now, it was a huge crowd, and he did so in broad daylight. Now, in verse 42, you would see how big the crowd was. Right, verse 42. For he had one daughter, referring to Jairus, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. As he went, meaning to say Jesus, as he went, the people thronged him. It was a big crowd. Now, for his action of coming to the Lord, then falling down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him, he could lose being respected as a religious Jew. Yes, and he could, the Jews, you remember, were regarding the Lord Jesus Christ as a self-proclaimed Messiah, a hoax, possibly, and they regarded him as a heretic. Now, Jairus, by his coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in that manner, could very well have himself ostracized by the Jews. He could be persecuted, and then he might just very well be removed from his position as an elder or as a ruler of the synagogue. But you might say, oh, but Jairus did what he did because he was desperate for the healing of his daughter. Now, be that as it might, we still cannot deny the fact that he was very courageous, very, very bold in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, for whatever reason, but still very bold and very courageous in coming before the Lord Jesus Christ to kneel down before him or fall down before him and to worship him. Now, let Jairus be your example, my dear friends. If you have not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you are fearful of men, let Jairus be your example. Now, you might have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ because you are very fearful what people might think of you. You are fearful that people might think that you are a very strange person, a person very different from people of the world. You are afraid of being passed by for some promotional opportunities in the office because of your Christian values, because of your Christian conviction, and because of your Christian ethics. Now, on this Father's Day, I would like to urge you, if you have not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ yet, if you have not come to him yet, to come to him. Yes, do this for yourself. Come to him. This is the most important decision that you will be making for your life. Yes, and it is the best thing that you can do. Something that the best thing that you can do, not for yourself, not only for this life, but even for your life after life on this earth. And not only that, it is the best thing that you can do for your family by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior. For yourself, if you come to Jesus and repent from your sins and trust in His precious blood to save you, and then you receive Him as Lord and Savior, you will first of all have everlasting life. And daily, as you come to Him in prayer, as you read His word, and as you obey His word, He will guide you, He will strengthen you, He will direct your footsteps, so that your life on this earth will be most joyful and most meaningful. And if you are a father, He will see to it that you would be the best father that you can be to your children by your constant, regular, faithful coming to Him every day. Now, for our coming to Jesus to have any effect on us, we must first of all come before Him in a manner that is acceptable to Him, just like Jairus did. Now, Jairus came to the Lord Jesus Christ with humility, not with pride, something which the Lord hates. He came to the Lord with humility. Now, verse 41 tells us so. Verse 41 says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house." Now, he did not come with spiritual pride. He did not think, "Oh, I am a ruler of the synagogue. I know the laws of God very, very well. I'm a son of Abraham, and by heritage, I am one of God's very own. God is my help. It is below my religious status to seek help from this self-proclaimed Messiah." My dear friends, the very fact that Jairus came to the Lord Jesus Christ showed that he did not think in this manner, but rather he acknowledged that he needed help from the Lord Jesus Christ. And for sure, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ with humility. And he demonstrated this how? By falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, in a parallel passage, we actually read that he came and worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. I read for you, "Behold, there came a certain ruler," referring to Jairus, "and worshipped him." He worshipped him. He gave the respect and honor due unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, until we humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot expect to receive salvation from Him. Let's understand this truth. Yes? Now, you remember, let me say that if we have the slightest pride in us, and think that we have some goodness in us that will earn us a place in heaven, my dear friends, you will never get to heaven. Salvation could never be granted to you. We must come before the Lord with humility, recognizing that we actually do not have any kind of righteousness at all. Absolutely. That all the righteousnesses that we have are but filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. If we want to be saved, if we want salvation from the Lord, that must be the premise in which we come before the Lord. Now, you remember the case of the rich young ruler. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ this question, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Obey the commandments." And this man said, "Ever since I was a youth, I have been obeying the commandments of God." Now, was this man proud or was he not proud? Think about it. My dear friends, he was proud. He thought that he had been obeying the laws of God. Yes, and so he thought that, well, if I had been obeying the laws of God, then surely I would have a place in heaven. Yes. Now that day, if he had come before the Lord in a different manner, if he had said this to the Lord, "Lord, ever since I was a youth, I've been trying very, very hard to obey the commandments of God. But I find it impossible for me to do so. The harder I try, then the surer I feel in obeying the laws of God. Now, my dear friends, if that man, the rich young ruler, had come to the Lord Jesus Christ in that manner, there would have been a glimmer of hope that he might be saved. But no, he came with that pride. Ever since I was a youth, I have been obeying the commandments of God. My dear friends, if we want salvation from the Lord, we must come before the Lord with humility. And Jairus definitely came before the Lord with humility. He fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he surely came with belief in the Lord. He surely must have come with this belief that the Lord Jesus Christ was someone sent from God, probably like Nicodemus did. Because if he was not sent from God, he could not have performed those miracles that he had performed. Yes, in other words, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ with faith, without which no man can please God. My dear friends, we must come before the Lord in faith. But yes, we do not need to come before the Lord with mountain-moving faith. The kind of faith that we need is faith as large as a mustard seed. Now, how big is a mustard seed? I think I told you that some one or two messages ago. Yes, the diameter of a mustard seed is maybe about 1 millimeter or so. At the very most, 2 millimeters, a small seed. But from that seed, if it's well planted into the ground, the seed will grow up into a tall bush. It's a bush, not a big tree, a bush, 4 to 5 meters tall. That is how big a bush the mustard seed will grow up into. Now, the point is this. We must have faith as large as a mustard seed. In other words, our faith could be very small, but if it is anchored in the Lord, anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be faith good enough for us to be saved. Yes, because we are anchoring ourselves, our faith, to none else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, let us see that coming to the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest thing Jairus could do as a father, because Jesus was the one who could solve his domestic problem. Now, what was the domestic problem that he was having? His daughter was dying. Yes, his daughter was dying. Verse 42 says, "For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying." Now, how unlike Jairus many fathers are. For that matter, many of us. How unlike Jairus. When people have a great problem to resolve, where or whom do they go for help? Now, when children are sick, first thing fathers will think of will be what? Send my children to the doctor, the best doctor that can take care of my children. Our family doctor, the one who has been taking care of us all these years. Send our children to him. That's the first thought. Or when our children are not doing so well in school, what's the first thought that comes to mind? Engage a good tutor to coach our children. Isn't it so? First thought. Yes, hardly would they remember that they should be bringing the problems to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, hardly do people or fathers think of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ first of all. But that's the thing that fathers must be doing. Yes. Now, because they don't do that, very often parents or fathers can become very frantic, anxious, and can become very burdened. Fathers, remember this. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He invites us to come to him. So when we have a problem, come to him first of all. "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then his word tells us, "Cast all your cares upon him." For what? He careth for us. So, my dear friends, if we have any problem to resolve, yes, our domestic problems, yes, let's bring our problems to him. First of all, think of him first of all. Come to him, bring the problems to him. And then when we come to him, he will give us the direction in regards to what we should be doing next. Now, the greatest thing that a father can do for his family, I dare say, is what? to love the family, of course. That's the greatest thing that a father can do for the family. Love the family. Now, I have no doubt that you fathers do love your family. And as we said already, you will aim to provide for them. You will aim to provide a good education for them. You want to help them to develop in a rounded manner. You want to help them do well in school. You want to help them to engage in recreational activities. You want to help them to socialize. You want to maybe provide them with a good holiday, as I said earlier on. And you want to also make sure that they go to church if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that you would do to express your love for your family. True? I think you would. You express your love for your children in that manner. But know this, above all these things that I've just mentioned, the greatest thing for you to do to show your love for your family, yes, is actually to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to your home. That is the greatest thing for you to do if you want to show real love for your family. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ to your home. Yes, invite him to be the head of your home. In many Christian homes, we see this plaque. I do not know whether this plaque is usually displayed or not, but in times past, this was usually the plaque that we would see. Yes, Christ is the head of this house. The unseen guest at every meal, and the silent listener to every conversation. We have this plaque in many homes. I think maybe you may be able to see this plaque still today. But often, this plaque is put up in the home only as a decorative piece to fill up the wall so that the wall does not look so plain, or to fill up a gap on the wall. And that's all. Yes, my friends, that must not be the case. The Lord Jesus Christ must necessarily be the head of our home. Now look at Jairus. He besought Jesus for what? That he would come to his house. Did we not read that? Yes. He besought Jesus that he would come to his house to resolve this big problem that he had. And that was that the fact that the daughter was dying. Now, what is meant by to beseech? You know, what is meant by to beseech? He didn't just invite, but he actually beseeched the Lord Jesus Christ to come to his house. Now, to beseech means to implore with great force. It means to beg the Lord Jesus Christ to come to his house. Now, it is true this man had a problem. That is why he did what he did. That's true. But friends, when we have a problem in our home, would we implore the Lord, beg the Lord to come to our house and to take charge of our home? Do we do that? Would we say to him, Lord, we have a big problem in our home. Yes, we are in serious trouble and we are not able to resolve this problem. Please come to our home. Be the head of our home. We submit ourselves to you and beseech you to resolve this problem for us. Often than not, we don't. The father in the home who is supposed to provide the leadership to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to his home does not do it. He fails to do it. Instead, he and perhaps along with his wife would take it upon themselves to try to, as it were, fix the problem. How unwise it is for them to do that. How unwise it is for them not to call upon the Lord. Who says what? Is anything too hard for me? Anything too hard for me? This is the Lord who can do all things. Why wouldn't we invite him to our home? Why would we not have him to be the head of our home? How foolish of us. Now, Jairus knew better. He besought the Lord to come to his house to resolve this big domestic problem that he had. But friends, let's not wait until we have a big problem, then we invite the Lord to come to our home. Let's invite him all the time to be in our home and ask him to stay in our home all the time when we are experiencing joy and peace and when we are experiencing a problem-free life. Let's be sure that he is the head of our home. Have family worship in our home. And if you are father in the home, my dear friends, let's understand you have this responsibility, the spiritual responsibility to be the pastor in the home. You are the one who should be putting the family worship in place in your home. Yes, you should be the one calling for everyone in the home to worship the one true living God. But remember this, if you are conducting family worship in the home, don't make it like a worship service that lasts for 1 hour or 2 hours. No, my dear friends, a 10-minute family worship or 15-minute family worship would suffice. Read a verse with your children. Help your children to memorize a verse or sing a hymn with them and then pray with them. Encourage them. Yes, and show them your love through your prayer for them. But don't make it a time to scold your children. If you did that, your children would shun away from the family worship that you want them to participate in. Now, and then remember to give him thanks during all those times, happy times when you are rejoicing, so that when you are going through times of trials in your home, it will be still very, very habitual for you to remember this head of your home, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives you peace, the one who gives you joy, and the one who's able to enable to think and realize that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So all the time, remember to give thanks unto him. Remember his presence in your home all the time. Now, Father is definitely showing his love to his family if he prays for them. Yes, if you truly love your family, then you must be praying for the family. And that is what this father, Jairus, did. He prayed for his daughter. He brought this very serious problem that he was having with regards to his daughter to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, often we talk of godly mothers. Very seldom we talk about godly fathers. Yes, but the reason is usually fathers seem to be absent when it comes to bringing up children in the faith. Sad to say, but it is true. In the Word of God, remember we have the case of Timothy. Who were the ones who brought Timothy up spiritually? Not the father. It was grandmother Louise, mother Eunice, but not his father. His father's name was not mentioned. Maybe his father could have died when Timothy was very young. But if he was alive, he surely was a very, very delinquent father in his not bringing up Timothy in the faith, but leaving that responsibility to Timothy's grandmother, Louise, and to his mother, Eunice. Yes. But thank God, in the Word of God, we read also of a few godly fathers. Abraham was a godly father. He prayed for his household. Another great father was Job. Job prayed for his family. And then another great father was Joshua. Remember Joshua at the close of his life? This was what he said to the children of Israel. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Yes, fathers, show your love for your children by being very, very concerned for your children, particularly their spiritual well-being. Pray for them. Yes, if they are outside of the kingdom of God, pray for them. Yes, that is the best thing that you can do for your children, the best way to show your love for your children. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. My dear friends, we said this before. Did you realize that there is nothing that you can bring to heaven with you? Obvious, right? But there is one thing that you can bring to heaven with you, and that is your children. If they come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, one day, after you have gone to heaven, they'll be there. Yes, you will be meeting them again. They are the only belongings of yours that you can bring to heaven. Nothing else. So pray for them. Pray that they will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then, let's see. Then, if you have already come to trust the Lord Jesus, and you are actually living a righteous life, because when you have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, you would have a righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to you. And if you are living a righteous life, Will not the Lord answer your prayers? Yes or no? If you are living a righteous life, yes, of course. Who says so? God's word says so. You know what God's word says? Yes, it says, confess your faults one to another. This is James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Yes, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man, if he prays fervently, yes, are very, very effective in the sight of the one true living God. Now, I know of a church leader. He was a godly man, a righteous man, you might say. One day, his son went missing. Now, this son was just out of his teens. He was, in fact, doing his national service in Singapore. Then one day, a sad thing happened to him. Yes, his girlfriend left him. And he was so brokenhearted because his girlfriend had left him. And what he did next was something very silly. He drank himself silly, actually. And then he went missing. Yes, and the father was, of course, very, very concerned about the son because he was, of course, very fearful that the son had become so silly that he might have taken his own life. So naturally, he reported this matter to the police, the disappearance of the son. But most importantly, he reported the matter to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the most important thing that he did. And I am very sure that he and his wife would have prayed prayed privately and fervently for this son of theirs. And then he was not satisfied with that. He made sure that this matter was brought before the church. And we all prayed for him and for his son at the church prayer meeting. And this man prayed, this godly man prayed that evening. And when he prayed, it was a heart of cry. It was a cry from his heart. He prayed very, very fervently and brought this matter before the Lord sobbingly. Did not the Lord answer his prayers? The Lord did, of course. The Lord answered his prayer. And then I think 1 or 2 days after that, the son was found. You know where he was found? He was found sleeping in the cemetery. Yes, he was so drunk, he walked into a cemetery and slept in the cemetery, and then he was discovered. Yes, the Lord was very merciful to this man. And this boy, by the way, recovered from that episode, and today he's a very, very happily married family man. All right. Now, fathers, yes, the Lord answers the prayers of righteous men. And if you have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to you, credited to you. And if you live a righteous life every day, my dear friends, your prayer will be very, very effective in the ears of the one true living God. Now, fathers, show your love to your children by praying for them. Be the righteous man that the Lord wants you to be. And when you pray, my dear friends, the Lord will answer your prayers if you pray in accordance to his will. Then what about you, children? Yes, are you, yes, realize this. You are very, very blessed if you have parents who are praying for you or a father who prays for you. You don't realize how blessed you are who, if you have a father who prays unceasingly for you. Do not take it for granted that you are kept in the most holy faith and that you are in this blessed position that you are in because things just happen this way. My dear friends, things don't happen just this way. Things happen this way because your father has been praying for you. Understand this truth. And so be very grateful. Go on your knees. If you haven't done so, go on your knees today when you get home. Thank God for this loving father that you have who has been praying for you all these years so that you are where you are today, you're what you are today. Remember this truth. Now, let's get on to the greatest challenge a father might face. Now, the greatest challenge a father might face could be posed by the test of his faith. And here again, we want to talk about Jairus. Jairus pleaded with the Lord to come to his house, and the Lord agreed. And so they all this contingent, the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples, and Jairus, and possibly some others, proceeded to the house of Jairus. Now, the walk to Jairus' house was a very, very slow walk because of the big crowd. Yes, as far as Jairus was concerned, time was of the greatest essence. The Lord must get to my house before my daughter dies. Now, I would be very, very surprised if Jairus was not anxious, not worried, as the slow progress was being made to get to his house. Then came test number one. The progress, already slow, was interrupted. It was interrupted by this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Yes, she broke through the crowd. It must have been, broke through the crowd, and then touched the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was healed immediately. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Who touched me?" Of course, the Lord knew who touched him, but he asked, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, what are you talking about? The crowd is so big. So many people must have been touching you." But the Lord was talking about this woman. And then in Luke chapter 8, verse 47, we read, 8:47, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid," in other words, she could not hide herself any longer, "she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, how she was healed." And how she was healed. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." So you see, there was this interruption. But let's understand this interruption that caused the delay to the progress to Jairus' house was not incidental. Neither was it accidental. Nothing happens by chance as far as our Lord is concerned. The Lord had a purpose for this test. And what was the purpose for this test? It was actually to encourage the faith of Jairus. Do you not see that? My dear friends, encourage the faith of Jairus. He was actually telling Jairus, "Look, yes, believe this. I have the power to heal. I just healed this woman." That was the message, to encourage the faith of Jairus. Our faith needs to be encouraged. And the Lord, of course, knows our need. He knows what we are in need of. Now, today, understand this truth. We have better than seeing miracles to have our faith encouraged. What do we have today? We don't have to see miracles. What we have is His Word. Yes, if we need encouragement in our faith, what we need to do is just to turn to His Word. He tells us in His Word, in Jeremiah 33:3, for example, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And then in Isaiah 41:10, we all know this verse, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Yes, and in the New Testament, we read, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We have promises upon promises upon promises in the Word of God. My dear friends, if we need encouragement in our faith, turn to the Word of God and you will receive the necessary encouragement. Next, we see the greatest challenge Jairus had to face in regards to his faith. All right, he had already experienced test number one, progress to his house was delayed. Now we come to test number two. The test number two was this. He received this very devastating news from his home that his daughter had died. Verse 49. While yet Jesus spake, Jesus was talking to this woman. He was telling this woman, "Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, before the Lord Jesus Christ could finish that sentence, this was what happened. While Jesus yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." And then, so, all hope seemed to have gone, right? Because now the daughter is dead. What's the point of having Jesus come to my house now? Maybe I tell Jesus not to come to my house now. Pointless. My daughter is already dead. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said to her, verse 50, read that verse, verse 50, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Jesus said to her, fear not. Yes, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now, could Jairus trust the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? My daughter is already dead. Now he says, fear not. Yes, only believe. Could I believe in his words? Now, the fact is, he did believe in his words. That is why he did not stop the Lord Jesus Christ from going to his house. Did you realize that? He believed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they got to Jairus' house, there was another discouragement. All right, if you look at verse 52. And all wept when they came to Jairus' house and bewailed the daughter that had died. But Jesus said, weep not, she is not dead but sleepeth. And verse 53, now this is the discouragement. And they laughed Jesus to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They laughed at what Jesus said. Now, of course, Jesus would not feel anything at all, but the one who could have felt was Jairus. Here they were laughing at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, could he not have felt discouraged? He could, my dear friends. Yes, if he had no faith in the Lord, he would have felt very, very discouraged. Now, very often, we do not get any kind of help from unbelievers, or if they try to help, their help is of no avail from unbelievers when we need help. And oftentimes, unbelievers can be very discouraging. And the ones who discourage us sometimes could even be our loved ones, our very loved ones, people whom we love and who are supposed to love us. They can be very discouraging because they are not believers. And so they can say things that are very taunting. For example, they might say, well, where is your God when you need your God? Yes, if your God is so powerful as you say he is, then you should not be getting into this trouble. They might say things like that, and they can be very, very discouraging. But in this instance, the Lord proved that he was absolutely able to hear Jairus' prayer. He honored Jairus' faith, and so he raised this Jairus' daughter to life from the dead. Now, when our faith is tested, we might ask, is the Lord able to hear my prayer? What's your answer? Is the Lord able to hear my prayer? The answer is, yes. How do we know? His word says so. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we have this confidence. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, the answer that comes from the Lord may not be the answer that we want. Yes? But you can be very, very sure that the answer that comes from the Lord is always the best answer. He knows what is best for us. So when we pray, let us always be looking for this kind of answers. Yes? Answers that show very, very clearly that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So on this Father's Day, all fathers will do well if they remember this. The greatest thing that a father can do is what? For him to, first of all, for himself, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has not already done so. By doing so, he will have everlasting life. By doing so, he will have abundant life, life that is meaningful. And besides that, he will be allowing the Lord to enable him to be the best father that he can be to his family and to his children. Yes, until he comes to the Lord, he is not allowing the Lord to enable him to do so. So the best thing that he can do for himself and for his family is for him to come to the Lord. And if he daily continues to come to the Lord, he will surely be that kind of a father, the father that the Lord wants him to be. And then the greatest thing that a father can do for his family is, of course, to what? Love the family. The greatest thing. And the greatest love that a father can show to his family is to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come to his home, to have the Lord Jesus Christ to be the head of the home. And this love to the family will be shown when every problem in the home is always brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, before a resolution or before a decision is made. and the greatest love he can show to his family. The father should be praying for the family members, particularly pray for their salvation. Pray diligently, pray beseechingly for them, just as Jairus prayed for his daughter when the daughter was dying, when he brought this matter before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest challenge a believing father might face is when his faith is tested, just as Jairus' faith was tested. In times when your faith is tested, yes, if you want your faith to be encouraged, turn to his word. Trust in his word, just as Jairus did when the Lord said to him, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Remember what he says in his word. Turn to his word, you'll be encouraged. Is anything too hard for me? Yes, and remember what he says also. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So be the best father that you can be to your children. Come to the Lord. Yes, show love to your family by inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to be the head of your home. And finally, when your faith is tested, remember your faith may be encouraged. Go to God's word, and your faith will be encouraged. And it will surely be for the good of the family if your faith in the one true living God is encouraged. So, on this Father's Day, I hope that you will learn from these lessons how to be the great father that the Lord wants you to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Lord, we thank you that your word has every solution to all our problems. And your word has the wisest thing to say in regards to how we should be living our lives. And your word, we thank you, has shown us clearly how fathers ought to be good fathers to their family members. And Lord, we pray for all fathers who have not come to you yet, that they will come this morning to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And for those who have already come, we pray that you will help them to make this wise decision of inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to their home, to set up family worship in the home so that the Lord Jesus Christ is always acknowledged as the head of the home. Father, we pray that on this day, as we celebrate Father's Day, children may be very, very thankful to the Lord that they have been provided with good fathers, particularly if their fathers are godly, fathers who pray for them. Lord, we pray that as we continue to fellowship after this worship service, you will be with us to bless us and to draw us closer unto yourself. Cleanse us of all sins and iniquities. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.